I stand on the shoulders of a lot of giants, both boxers who have kind of pushed social change and conversations forward, also of, you know, trans activists as well. I don't feel that I'm alone in this endeavor.
From NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. And today, a portrait of Patricio Manuel, the first openly transgender professional boxer in the United States. Patricio Manuel is a five-time amateur boxing champion who was born and raised in Los Angeles. He identifies as Black, but Patricio was raised in the Mexican-dominated boxing gyms of L.A., where he earned his nickname Cacahuate, or Peanut. Patricio had gender affirmation surgery in 2013, and that meant he would have to stop fighting in women's boxing and begin to compete in the men's boxing division. He made his debut in his first professional fight last year, and he won.
At this very ring, living and fighting out of Los Angeles, California, Patricio Cacahuate Manuel!
As the first openly transgender boxer to ever fight professionally in the country, Patricio Manuel is making history in the ring. But the boxing world hasn't always been welcoming. Getting his first professional fight was a struggle. Many boxers refused to fight him because of his identity. I sit down with Patricio to talk about what it's like to navigate this sport as a transgender boxer and how he feels about becoming a national sensation. Patricio Manuel, welcome to Latino USA.
Thank you for having me.
So, can you tell me a little bit about the first time you remember boxing? Was it you? Was it seeing somebody? What was it that you said, ooh, boxing?
You know, I think the first time I really remember boxing, I didn't really have the connection like this would be something I would end up doing. But as a kid, you know, I was in a household that was really into sports. So, and this was during like the height of Mike Tyson and his reign of terror on heavyweight.
He is the challenger, Mike Tyson.
And I kind of remember, you know, hearing my family talk about it, but my uncles used to joke that I was Sugar Ray Leonard and my sister was Mike Tyson, based solely off of our sizes. My sister's older than me, and I was really quick. And so they would joke about that with us. But it wasn't until much later in my life, when I was around 14, and I was actually involved in martial arts, Jeet Kune Do, that a friend of mine asked if I wanted to split a boxing lesson. And this was like not at any sort of reputable club or any sort of like competitive club, but my coach sparred me the first day and, you know, cracked me way too hard. And just in that moment, I was like, this is something I want to do.
Why? I mean, I love boxing, but the thing that terrifies me the most about boxing is getting hit.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about why it is that you actually enjoyed getting hit?
I mean, I wish I knew why. I'm trying to get better about not caring about being hit, because the whole name of the game is to hit and not get hit. And I'm trying to really embody more of a boxer rather than brawler, especially in my professional career now. But I think a lot of it had to do with also what I was going through. I was just starting puberty. And, you know, for someone who felt always more like a boy, when your body suddenly starts expressing itself in ways that contradict that, it was really painful. And it was around that time that I really fell into a state of anxiety and depression. I physically didn't feel in my body. I felt like I was watching myself go through the motions. I wasn't present in everyday life. And I think there was something about being hit that really forced me to be present. I didn't really have the language to understand what was going on. You know, at this time, there wasn't that many conversations around trans people. And most of the conversations that were happening were usually harmful representation of trans women on media rather than anything around trans men. So I didn't even know, you know, I know now what I was going through was labeled as gender dysphoria.
Can you just kind of explain what that is? Because It's a concept that for trans people is very clear, very understandable. But for others, it may be the first time they're hearing it. So if you don't mind, can you just kind of describe it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, gender dysphoria, body dysphoria is really feeling like your body doesn't align with the gender you feel inside. For myself, I grew up always thinking of myself as a boy. I hung out with boys. I spent most of my time doing even like very stereotypical, these are what boys do, these are what boys dress, these are what boys enjoy. And to have suddenly your body look a different way, and then to have people treat you differently. People tell you over and over, you're a girl. No, you need to go into the line with girls. Like, no, these are the thing that girls are supposed to like. And for me, that was confusing because I never connected and never felt any sort of affinity to the things that people wanted me to do. And my family grew up praising me, always saying like, oh, you're so beautiful. But that made me cringe more than anything. I would look in the mirror and I didn't see myself, even though I was staring at myself right in the reflection.
And let's talk about your family and how you identify.
So as a gender, I identify as a man. We say like man of trans experience. I use he, his, him pronouns. Ethnically, I identify as Black. My mom's side is Irish. My dad's side is African descent, specifically from slavery, and also a mix of Indigenous American.
This name, Patricio Manuel, I mean, I was like, well, is he Mexican? Is he Latino? And is that any part of kind of how you see yourself?
I feel like it, in the gyms in L.A., this is a very Mexican-dominant boxing community. My coaches have been Mexican for the past, like, I'd say 15 years. I've been very much adopted into the community. My nickname is Cacahuate, which was given to me because of my small peanut head.
Do you like it when they call you Cacahuate?
Oh, yeah. Like, it became a joke in, like, 2007. My hair was cut short, and they realized how small my head is. And then when I was going to turn pro, even prior to that, they were like, well, what's Pat's nickname? They're like, Cacahuate, no doubt. Like, everyone called me that. I even have a peanut tattoo on my arm. I enjoy that name. It is also my respect to the culture that has raised me in boxing. You know, but in terms of my identity, I'm Black. My last name is a slave name, probably slave owners. I'm proud to carry that name so that people understand this is a history we come from, that, you know, I come from family that was owned, but did not allow that to stop them. You know, and I stand here as a free man, I think free in every term, right? I'm free from this belief that I was born female and therefore I have to be a girl.
Can you talk a little bit about the Mexican culture of boxing that you say has kind of raised you? What is that culture of the Mexican boxing and the training?
In LA, I will go on record as saying we have the best boxing out there. And a lot of that is from the pride of Mexican fighters. So many of the Mexican fighters embody the heart and the pride of going in the ring and working hard, toiling for that victory. A lot of my style, especially prior to transitioning, had been mostly pressure fighter that really was influenced by the Mexican boxing culture that I grew up around.
I'm wondering about what happened, because I've read about some really difficult moments. The boxing gym, the gym that had become kind of so important in your life, some part of that community was really not cool with you beginning to transition. Can you talk a little bit about what that was like?
Yeah, you know, a friend told me once that rejection is unfortunately a part of the trans experience. I'm very, very fortunate to have a family that respects me and understands and supports me in my transition. I also have a great group of friends, but it was really shocking and really hurtful when the gym that I was associated with, which was connected with the church, basically told me that I could train in their space, but no one can know that I trained there. And I'm never the type of person who's lived my life in a closet. So I walked out that day from the gym and I never came back. And the result of that is I lost a team that I had had for over 10 years that had brought me to that point in my career, that had been a family. And, you know, to me, there was never a question of like, oh, well, should I just be quiet about it? If someone's not willing to accept me as I really am, then they're not someone I want in my life. It definitely was incredibly painful. And it took me 6 months before I was able to even go into another gym and find another coach. And I'm glad that it happened because I think I'm exactly where I need to be. My coach, Victor Valenzuela, he sees me as I am. He's never asked me to diminish anything about my personality to make anyone else feel comfortable.
Coming up on Latino USA, we hear about Patricio's first professional fight in the ring. Stay with us, no te vayas.
When's the last time you had a really good workout? Not of your biceps, but of your brain. I'm Shankar Vedantam, host of Hidden Brain. Listen every week and flex your mind.
Hey, we're back. And I'm speaking with Patricio Manuel, who is the first openly transgender boxer in U.S. history to have a professional fight. Let's get back to the conversation. I'm thinking about a moment in an interview that you did with HBO Sports that really stuck with me. And you said that boxing as a sport actually helped you to learn how to be in your own body. Mm-hmm. So how did that happen? What does that look and feel like?
You know, that started when I started boxing. I was 16 years old. I was really at a very, very low point in my life. And I think that was a subconscious way of trying to find a solution to my problem and immediately brought me back into my body, learning those skills, hitting the bag, feeling sore. I mean, that first week I could barely move, but I loved every second of it because it was the first time I was really feeling myself. And, you know, in addition to learning the sport, learning how to move your body, and of course, having to be conscious of that, I started to become proud of what I was able to do. I was proud of the way my body was changing. It was starting to look more masculine. It was leaning out. I started out, I was actually pretty bad. I was like 0-3. And it wasn't until later when I got with a better coach that then I started winning. I started becoming a national champion. And as I was moving through the national ranks, I started becoming a lot more comfortable with my masculine gender presentation. And I think that was tied a lot to the fact that I was really proud of what my body was capable of.
So let's talk about your first professional fight. It's December 8th, 2018, with Hugo Aguilar. And you're walking into the ring. What's going on for you that stood out that made it different than any other time that you had been boxing?
Well, for starters, it was definitely a different setup. I've never come in with like fog. There was a really intense moment for me, and I was standing there by myself, and then all that smog came, and I heard them go walk now. And then my music started, and it was, oh man, like, this is it. Like, this is big.
He officially weighed in at 128 pounds even tonight. He makes his historic professional debut in this very ring. Patricio Cacahuate Manuel!
And then I just went right back into my pre-fight routine that I normally am. I've been in the ring, maybe not a pro ring like that, maybe not without my shirt on, maybe without 8-ounce gloves, but I've been in boxing competitions. I've fought a lot of good opponents. I've had great sparring with pros. I even had a couple amateur fights with male fighters. I knew what I was doing, and I really just relied upon that experience to allow me to stay calm and see it as just another fight.
Your next fight, your first since that December 2018 fight. It's no longer you're the first. It's kind of just your next big fight. So what's going on for you?
Well, I hope for me that it can just be I'm just another boxer climbing the ranks. I actually wasn't expecting to get as much attention that my first fight had. So I'm hoping and looking forward to just being able to compete and focus on boxing and just continue moving that part of my career. You know, for me, every fight is important. Every fight is the most important thing in my life in that moment. So the importance of it will never be diminished. But I hope people from the outside will just be like, oh, well, he's just another guy going into his second professional fight.
You are doing something pretty extraordinary in that you are normalizing what it is to see somebody who has had some surgery. So you had breast removal, but there's something really profound about you getting into that ring without your shirt on.
I mean, for me, it's like a dream. You know, like as a little kid, I hated wearing a shirt. So to be really comfortable, like I would say me not having a shirt is actually me at my most comfortable. And to be able to do that while I'm at my happiest, like being able to compete, it's a dream come true.
There's a lot of self-love that I feel from you. Like not everybody has the capacity to kind of love themselves enough. And I'm wondering if you've thought about self-love in this whole kind of story of your life.
You know, self-love has been the motivation of my life. It has been the thing that has allowed me to push to this point. I think that there's a lot of people out there who know what they need to do or be to be happy, but they can't get to that place because they haven't understood that it's worth the risk to really love yourself. And for whatever reason, I've always wanted to be my best self so I can really love myself. And I'm at a place now where I'm the happiest, I'm the most confident being the first trans man and knowing that I represent a community whether I want to or not, that how I do in the ring also can impact the next trans boxers coming up. I need to make sure that I'm using my full skill set to continue winning.
Thank you so much, Patricio, and congratulations and good luck.
Thank you.
Patricio Manuel is the first professional transgender boxer in the United States. This episode was produced by Sarah Quevedo and Maya Cueva and edited by Sofia Paliza-Ca. The Latino USA team includes Marlon Bishop, Miguel Macias, Antonia Cerejido, Maggie Freeling, and Janice Yamoka, with additional editing by Allison McAdam. Our engineers are Stephanie LeBeau and Julia Caruso. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelhotz. Our interns are Caroline Aguirre and Lucas Southern. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, be sure you stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. And one more thing for you podcast listeners. We really, really, really love hearing from you. So take a moment to rate and review us wherever you listen to us, because this really helps other people to find us. Plus, we love reading your comments. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us on the next episode of Latino USA. And in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. I'll see you there. Ciao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. The Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide. And funding for Latino USA's coverage of A Culture of Health is made possible in part by a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
Me too, dude. That's what it is. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, we zoom in to one all-female immigrant detention center in Texas and a specific case to look at how and why the system allows for sexual abuse of detainees to continue. That's next time on Latino USA.